In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Perhaps you know the American comic genius Mel Brooks, who gave us that much-loved Cold War spoof, Get Smart, then movies like Young Frankenstein and the unforgettable Blazing Saddles. Mel Brooks has a less well-known film called Silent Movie, which is, you guessed it, a silent movie about Mel Brooks' character actually making a silent movie. There are the usual silent movie subtitles to explain what's going on, but there's no talk, only music. Except that one word is spoken, only one word in the whole movie. Mel Brooks is contacting the prospective cast with his offers of a role, and their responses together appear in subtitles. He telephones the famous French mime, Marcel Marceau, who appears in his customary costume with the top hat and the flower, struggling against a strong wind which is blowing in the French doors on his way to answer the telephone. He picks up the receiver with a theatrical flourish, and there in subtitles is Mel Brooks' invitation, "Do you want to be in my silent movie?" To which the famous mime utters the one word that we hear in the whole film, "Non." Friends, our God has only one word for us, one word to say. This word is at the root of all created reality, as we hear in Hebrews and in John today. It's a particular word for all humanity, yet it has a particular resonance for God's own ancient people, as we hear in Isaiah this morning. But it's a word that still comes as a surprise, because this is not the word that most people expect from God. Friends, this word constitutes the ground of being for all creation, and yet it's an intimately personal word, taking the form of a particular human life. The God whose love, whose relationality, whose life and energy are discerned by the mystics throughout all creation, this God enacts God's loving commitment to that creation by continuing to shape it, by stepping up for it, by coming forth into the light of creation personally, humanly. This is the story we celebrate here in every Eucharist, where God continues to become flesh in the life of our world of matter and history through the bread and wine of the Blessed Sacrament to sustain us, enliven us, challenge us, and transform us. So friends, here we learn that there is no fundamental dualism between matter and spirit, despite the Church's legacy of Greek metaphysics. Here we learn that God is with us and consistently for us as the inbuilt compass and the close companion and the personal trainer who we meet in Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to be a harsh moralist. Jesus isn't here to transact some sort of weird payment to an angry God to secure our salvation. No, compared to those popular alternatives, the word from God that we hear in Jesus Christ today is completely unexpected. This unexpected word is good news to those who can receive it, as we hear in today's gospel. But a lot of people can't hear it, and if they can, they can't bear it. So they reject it. He came to his own people, and his own people received him not. For so many people, God means control. God means repression. For many, God means fairy tales unsuitable for a grown-up's world. So that this single, unexpected word of God, which spells out vulnerability and freedom and world-transforming wisdom, this word either doesn't compute or else it represents too much of a threat. All around us in our world today, we see a lot of threatened people. We see fear at work. Fear of lost control. Fear of lost advantage. And fear of facing what has to be done in our world because it will bring too much change to our accustomed way of life. Our world is full of untapped technical potential for addressing our besetting problems. If only we had the love, the faith, the nerve to embrace what's called for. But we don't. So instead, we deny the threat, we blame everyone but ourselves, we build walls of exclusion, we silence the prophets from John the Baptist to Greta Thunberg, and hence we settle for something paltry. We settle for Donald Trump's version of American greatness. We settle for Boris's Little Britain. We settle for the ad man's slogan, "How good's Australia?" And so we sell ourselves short. Friends, this is just what we should expect, because we don't want a word like this, let alone such a word made flesh. Instead, we prefer ideology and exclusion, self-assertion and denial, because these are familiar and they promise being able to stay within the in-group, to maintain the safe familiar space and to maintain control. Not like the thoroughly unexpected actual word of God, in whose warm human flesh God took his chance on earth. But friends, instead, we can be shaped by a word that is not born in violence, a word that isn't just the blah, blah, blah of our unreconstructed human nature, a word that doesn't represent the anxious bullying that's typical of patriarchalism. As our gospel puts it today, we can be those who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. So, friends, in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh and pressed into our palms in the Blessed Sacrament this morning, there we meet God's eternal nature. There we recognise God's indwelling closeness in the evolutionary outworking of creation. And there we encounter God within our wonderful and vulnerable human condition. And this is a word, as I say, that is not what's expected. A word that few are willing and able to hear, let alone to receive with joy. But given all the words that we do hear around us in the world today, this is the word that humanity needs to receive and to embrace more than ever. The Lord be with you.
And also